Thanks to those of you who supported the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, Thrivent Choice, we received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes in the program on this Wednesday afternoon, the 1st of February. We're going to start with a story. I'm going to let our guest tell you this story, a story that is of just unspeakable tragedy and death that happened recently in the small circle that I call my church body. It just really strikes at the heart of a father and a parent's concern for his family, worst of fears, realize the kind of stuff that you pray in the dark of night would never, ever happen, and sometimes it does. Some would say that at a time of tremendous loss and personal tragedy, your theology kind of flies out the window, because isn't that all just theoretical? Isn't that just all so many words? Is theology irrelevant at a time of deep personal tragedy? Joining us to talk about the theology of the cross and tragic life events, Pastor Ed Engelbrecht. He's senior editor for Bible Resources at Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis, and he preached a sermon this morning that I heard about at Concordia Publishing House's chapel service titled Looking for the Miraculous in Tragic Events. Ed, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
What is the story that in some ways kind of occasioned your message today?
Well, it has to do with the Jeske family. Pastor Jeske recently moved up from Texas, I think it was, to Salina, Kansas, to minister to a congregation there. I think maybe in November he moved. And his family, just so say this weekend, was traveling along I-70, and suddenly a red car came over the median and hit the family van head-on, and Pastor Jeske's wife was killed, and two of his sons, he and one of his sons was spared, but just an absolutely shocking event for the family, for the congregation, and for the community.
Some would say that at a time like that of unspeakable and just unimaginable loss for this pastor, for his son, for the whole family in the community there, the congregation, that theology isn't that relevant, because those are just ideas and words, and it's not what people need right then. Is that true?
I think this is exactly why theology exists. I think when these things happen, people want to understand, and they begin turning to God for the answers, to try to figure out why God allows tragedies, and whether there's purpose in these things, or are we just kind of stuck in a hopeless world? That's kind of where the philosophers come down. They see tragedy as just a consequence of kind of Darwin's world of death ruling, and everyone just scratching out a living. But that's not how theology sees things. Theology looks up rather than down, and gives, I think, a far more satisfying answer.
There are, of course, different theological approaches, Pastor Engelbrecht, and one of them says, and I don't know what you do if you hold to it in a case like this. One of them says, well, you kind of get what's coming to you. Mm. If good happens, then it means God is smiling on you. And if bad happens, it's the consequences of maybe your lack of faith or your lack of sufficient good works. But one way or the other, the good is a sign of God's favor and the bad is a sign of God's disfavor. I mean, we usually call it a theology of glory. Talk about an alternative to that false theology.
Yes. What we really need for understanding a tragedy is a theology of the cross that looks to the cross of Jesus Christ and what Jesus was doing there and accomplishing there for us and for our salvation, and understands and sees life and death through that event in Jesus. In the sermon that I preached this morning, I turned very quickly and naturally to the book of Job, which contains Job's friends coming and saying to Job, "Job, you must have done something wrong for all these terrible things to have happened in your life." And Job insists that, "I don't think I did anything like this that would cause all these things to happen in my life." And sure enough, in the end, it's not something that Job has done, but the spiritual warfare that's going on behind the scenes, the hidden things in life. And the same thing is going on at the cross with Jesus. If you look at the death of Jesus on the cross, if you are Mary and John, his mother and his disciples, standing at the foot of the cross and looking up and seeing Jesus crucified, it makes no sense at all. He's there hanging between heaven and earth, crucified for things he did not do, suffering in perfect righteousness, and to try to pin a theology of glory on this, you get what you're coming, what you have coming to you, just does not work at all. And a mature theology, one that understands and works from the cross, sees that God has hidden purposes in and behind the tragedies of life, that God is at work to accomplish his good and gracious will for us. And the cross speaks that so beautifully, because here in this unjust death is God bringing about the justice and justification for the sins of the whole world and to save all humanity in the righteous suffering and death of Jesus, hidden from our eyes, but revealed in the cross.
One of the things that just I found incredible and yet at the same time extremely comforting came recently after this tragedy with the Jeske family, where the pastor himself actually, through a friend, sent out a word, and I can't repeat it word for word. My memory doesn't serve me well enough, but it was remarkable in that he thanked everyone for their prayers and their concern, and that he spoke about the tremendous and unbearable loss that he'd had.
Yeah.
But then of his enduring faith in Jesus Christ and in God's purpose for all of this. And that just blows my mind, because I don't know if I could do that, Ed, if I were faced with the same loss in my life.
I'm with you. I don't know what I would do. I don't think any of us could know what we would do in a circumstance like this. It's so tragic. And yet faith looks at something like this, and faith says, My God is at work. My God is in control. He is my Savior. I trust him. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And clings to the cross of Jesus.
Real quickly, with about a minute here, Ed, This is also an opportunity for the body of believers to respond when one member hurts, all members hurt. When one member suffers, all members suffer. Mm-hmm. Talk about that as well with about a minute before we got to close up.
As I mentioned before, the example of Mary and John at the foot of the cross, one of the things that Jesus says to them as he's hanging there is, Mother, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. In other words, commending Mary and John into mutual care for each other, since Jesus would be losing that earthly role he had of a caregiving to his mom. And he doesn't try to explain the crucifixion at that moment, but he points them to each other, to love and to care for each other at that time of great sorrow. And I think Jesus would do the same for us in this situation, that brothers and sisters in Christ would be pointed toward one another to minister care and encouragement, to uplift, meet any needs that might have come as a result of this horrible thing. And there is God at work in and through this tragedy, hidden yet at work, through the loving and caring of his people for one another. So that's I think, a great application of the theology of the cross and the care that comes by Christ's cross.
Pastor Ed Engelbrecht is senior editor for Bible Resources at Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. He preached a sermon this morning at the CPH Chapel service titled Looking for the Miraculous and Tragic Events. We will post the text of this sermon at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page. Ed, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
We have a new Issues Etc. Book of the Month because a new month is upon us here on this Wednesday, the 1st of February. It's a great one from a great author. It's called Pastors and Elders Caring for the Church and One Another. You can find out more about this very practical and theologically deep resource from Concordia Publishing House at our website, issuesetc.org. On the side of every page, just look for the book, Pastors and Elders. Now, the book is $12.99 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House and order Pastors and Elders. It's instructive for people of every vocation in the church. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. 3040, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Pastors and Elders. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Colleen Carroll Campbell about our hypersexualized culture. We'll discuss media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org, and we'll talk with Jay Watts about moving pro-life legislation forward. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.